Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast on a football Friday. We are just one day removed from the D'Amico Ryan's press conference. Great press conference yesterday. A lot of optimism, a lot of hope coming out of that. Nick Caserio joins us in a little under an hour here on the show. 7:30, the Texans GM will be on with us right now. Kind enough to shuffle his Friday schedule around for the Texans GM. And I know that before the press conference yesterday, he and Nick had words about this. Brooks Kabina of the Houston Chronicle. Was it a cordial conversation that you had with Nick about having to move out of the parking spot at 7:30?
No, we gloved up. We had a throwdown in the cafeteria.
Oh, okay.
Throwing pots and pans at each other.
Jim Irsay would have gone bare knuckles on you.
Yes.
Jim Irsay probably believes that he won the bare knuckles championship in 1898. Is that in his mind?
It was a hallucination he had.
We went 173 rounds. People are upset about Jeff Saturday getting a third interview.
Right.
Yeah, they don't know what it was like.
Yep. But you guys are cool.
Yeah. No, I was like, I set the 5 a.m. alarm, and he's like, "Welcome to my world."
Yeah.
I'm gonna need a whole fridge of Red Bulls.
So there you go.
Here we are. I feel good though. I feel like normally than my 7:20.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel more energized.
You feel invigorated that there's actually. It feels like a pulse.
There is a pulse.
Yeah, and like the right kind of pulse, not a zombie pulse or whatever goes on with that stuff. Like an actual pulse from an actual football coach who's intended to be there for a long time.
Yeah.
All the context of yesterday. That was my main takeaway from one of the main takeaways from being there yesterday with all the former players, all the current players that were there too. It's just the context of this moment like is so huge for the Texans. It was the most meaningful hire they could possibly have. And it worked out to the point where this team needed that kind of coach who wanted them. I mean, that was what was the biggest thing. He says, coming off the field, the practice field on that Friday before the Cowboys divisional round game, and Nick Caserio is the one that told the story up on stage. He's like, and he comes off the field, goes in, does the Zoom. At the end of it, says, "I want to come back home. Let's make that happen."
Yeah.
So any question of whether he wanted this job or not towards the beginning, that's wrong.
He was sales guy asking for the order.
It was really, it was horrible negotiating. Like it was,
yeah.
He was
please give me the job.
He was, yeah. He was like, I don't, no, and then he turned down a couple of interviews. And I'm joking about the negotiating part of it because he had some very good leverage on the Texans. But Brooks, and this is the thing. Most NFL head coaches, almost all of them are mercenaries.
Right.
They're going to go where the situation is best, where they can coach the best, but it has very little to do with the actual place other than the owner and all that stuff. That's what felt so unique in a good way about yesterday was, okay, this is an NFL coach that actually specifically wanted to be here with this franchise in this city. Yeah. And you really don't get that all that often.
No, and this is a team that from all the national perspective, you just saw this, it's like, oh, they've had... He'll be their fourth head coach in 4 years. Like, this team doesn't keep, coaches more than 1 year. And then they're going to have to really convince him how to do this. And all that being equal with a candidate that didn't have a tie to a team and maybe it wasn't their dream job, that might have been true.
Yeah.
But they needed the D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans wanted to go to the Texans. He ended up with a 6-year contract. So to speak to the negotiation of it, there are things that he needed protections for and secured. So worked out in those angles. But... I mean, to have that scenario and then you're in the context of the moment like this kind of falls in almost perfectly for the Texans as they're ready to ramp up and be a competitive team again. The other thing, part of that story, got a chance to talk to D'Amico after the press conference a little bit. He said whenever he was He had that Zoom meeting planned.
Right.
So, like, you know, there's always that balance between interviewing and coaching for a team in the playoffs, and he balanced that really well. But he was like, you know, the practice went late that Friday, and he was like checking his watch.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Okay. All right, I got that interview. And then it was like 30 minutes. Like, he had to run. He had to book it, to use the book it.
Yeah.
You get to go to take a shower, get ready. He had notes, but he didn't get to his notes. And he's just sitting down there. He's like, okay, all right, let's just go. And sometimes it's better in an interview.
You're like, sure.
Just talking off your, what you know, and just lean on yourself. So the interview went great, and they basically wanted to get everything done right then. So, I mean, all the excitement exuding from that Friday kind of carried over to here. So interesting to see just the looseness, how Kyle McNair, Nick Caserio talked about the moment. They looked very collaborative together, and those are words that Caserio continues to use. And, I mean, that's what they've got ahead for them.
Yeah.
So I want to get your reaction to a few of the clips.
Yeah.
We've got Nick coming up at 7:30, so we're going to be – our cup is going to overflow with audio on the show today. So I do want to make sure we get to some of these. So, A, the audience can hear them, but a couple specific ones I wanted to get your reaction to as well, Brooks. And I know you liked this one too yesterday, Seth, mm-hmm. talking to you after the press conference. When D'Amico Ryans was asked about what he's taken from – when did he want to start coaching? He said he wanted to start coaching – when I was a player, he was looking through that prism, and he talked about all the different things he took from the various coaches that he played for and has been around through the years.
Because I've become a head coach, and I've been around a lot of different coaches, I always take what I learn from each place I've been. When I first started here with Coach Gary Kubiak, he taught us what a first-class organization looked like. He taught us, Gary Kubiak taught us, you treat players as men first. I learned that from Gary. Moving on to Philadelphia, being around Andy Reid, I learned from Andy Reid how to be a great teacher, right? Andy was an awesome teacher, but he's also a protector of his players. So you'll never see me throwing a player under the bus. It'll always be about protecting our players first. And with Coach Chip Kelly, what I learned from him, he was a master motivator, but he was also an innovator. And Chip Kelly, he was always on the cutting edge. Right, always looking for ways to get better with sports science, technology. And I take things that I learned from all these men, and that's how I feel like you build an organization, right? You build a first-class organization, right? You protect your players, be a great teacher, motivate them, and do everything to be adaptable, to change, and make sure we have the best things for our players when it comes to sports science and technology.
See, that has a lot, to me, stuck out with whenever I was wondering about his experience level. You look mm-hmm. at, like, oh, he's only been a 2-year defensive coordinator. He's been around all those head coaches, and it's notable that they're all pretty much offensive guys. And the other thing, too, is that it's not in that clip, but D'Amico later said, like, the whole reason he got into coaching was to help players.
Yes.
He mentioned Brian Cushing. He mentioned Jordan Hicks, who was with the Eagles. And to go into coaching to develop players, he had that whole story about Fred Warner and how he was hands-on with him and helped him as a third rounder, reached a 2-time All-Pro. Like, all those things, treating players like men, being a great teacher, protecting them, not throwing them under the bus, and then using the resource around that you have in the modern age of football, which the Texans have plenty of, he's going to be able to use those things and help the players that they – that's all it's about, because they're about to draft a bunch of other players, 11 more draft picks if they use all of those. They probably won't to trade up again like they did last year, and then – all the free agents that they'll sign, those are huge things. And he named three that were specific, and they were all rookies, Derek Stingley, Christian Harris, and Jalen Petrie, and obviously all defensive guys. So those are going to be things that he's definitely going to be taking on for himself, all along with the defensive staff he creates.
Yeah, and I think that by far the biggest concern people have with D'Amico, at least from what people send my way, is the fact that he's a defensive coach at all.
I asked you that too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you did. Yeah. No. It's a valid concern. I get it. I get concerned about it because
right.
I think a lot of defensive coaches flat out don't have an actual plan for how they're going to address that deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
I think they hodgepodge a little too much, and they end up being classical defensive coaches where they're overly conservative. They're more concerned with not making mistakes and being aggressive on offense. Yesterday made me feel very much like that's an unwarranted concern when he started talking about A, Andy Reid and Chip Kelly, and B, the sports science part of it. I think that D'Amico is obviously very open and receptive to that side of it, which includes the analytics of going for it on fourth down, going for touchdowns instead of field goals, all of that. And so that I'm not as concerned about. Obviously, you still got to find offensive coordinators, replace them, and cultivate them. But that's a whole other story.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is I still am curious about what their offensive staff is going to be and how much experience that person has as a play caller. I mean, if Bobby Slowick comes in, which would be kind of the obvious connection with the 49ers, then you know that is someone that's coming up within the ranks, and they have the ability to communicate. We talked about this last week, Seth, where you were saying like coaches have to coach players too. I mean, coaches have to learn how to coach coaches.
Yeah, yeah.
And that would be an easy connection for them because they are familiar with each other. When then Bobby Slowick, if he were to then eventually become someone who leaves, he'd be able to teach the next person too. So if it goes to somebody else that's outside the connections between D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio even, that would be something that would be mostly up to that person too. But the other thing I wanted to get back to, because y'all were talking about the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
D'Amico Ryan said, you got to build around a quarterback. That's not, you know, breaking news. The other coaches who were here have said that too. But I think it's notable to point out that no team has really invested in quarterback as much as the 49ers have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be fair, like Purdy was playing seven games into that playoff run, but John Lynch traded three picks, basically, first-round picks, including the one that they had in 2021, to trade up and get Trey Lance.
Mm-hmm.
They traded and signed Jimmy Garoppolo to a five-year, $125 million deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they invested in the quarterback.
Right,
so
yeah.
It's not like the Texans are going to be like, no, you know, we're not really going to do that. We're going
to
support
everything. They didn't try to Brian Hoyer their way through.
Right. Yeah, no, they invested in quarterbacks in San Francisco.
That's what we've learned from Kube Shanahan, is that, yes, it's awesome at getting you to a certain level, but to get over the top, you need that extra little bit of something. You know, that's why the Rams trade away Goff and bring in somebody that they think can just get them that little bit extra.
Yep,
but the goal is to be like, look at what San Francisco was this year. They're an NFC championship caliber team, possibly more if Brock Purdy stays healthy, without really having either of their chosen top guys there.
Yeah.
Like, you want to be that good and then add the guy on top.
Yep.
Right.
Brooks, you're familiar with the nation of Kube Shanahan, the Kubiak Shanahan tree.
If you stand for Kubiak or Shanahan,
right?
I believe as a Houstonian, I'm a citizen in some ways.
You are, no doubt.
Yeah. I don't know if you're naturalized. That's a whole other debate.
I feel like if you've covered the Texans for any bit of time in the last couple of years,
do I have a work visa right now as a journalist?
Yes, you
need to be a natural born Kube Shanahan.
Do I have amnesty as a journalist, or do I get, you know, do I have to? Do I get run out? Want the journalists around in Kube Shanahan?
This whole thing, just like the actual Constitution, there's no real definition for what a natural citizen of Kube Shanahan is.
Seth just declared himself president.
Yeah,
there's no election.
Right? I can basically, whatever the polls are telling me is what what declares it. Yeah.
That's right. You better write nice things about it, though. That's what I tell you.
Oh, man.
So
Kube Shanahan is as much in here. Pointing to my heart as it is
touching his chest.
Out here.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Brooks Cabina in studio with us, Houston Chronicle. Along those lines,
I can't wait until I'll kill half the population of Kube Shanahan.
Along those lines,
become Thanos.
Okay, Thanos. Yeah. Along those lines, I think when any defensive coach, whether it's D'Amico Ryans or anybody else, had been hired, if it were Jonathan Gannon or Ejiro Evero or anybody, you'd go, okay, they hired a defensive guy as coach. Does this change the calculus at all on the second overall pick in the draft? Could they lean Will Anderson now because it's a defensive coach or this? D'Amico, I thought, had a great anecdote yesterday that I want to play about being in the war room in San Francisco that he talked to. It was a 6-round pick, but I think it's applicable maybe to the conversations from the top to the bottom of the draft. Here was D'Amico Ryans on a story where he talked about what he wanted, but then the greater good of the team is what ended up winning out.
It's me being in the draft room for my first year as a defensive coordinator, right? And I'm looking there, and I'm a former linebacker, and, man, I want to get some backers. This is my first draft. I want to draft some linebackers. And, you know, we're at a point in the draft, 6th round, where we're there, and there are, like, 2 linebackers there on the draft board for us. And I'm like, I really want a linebacker, but I also know, right, that is this the right thing for our team? Right, so we look at a highlight tape, just pop this running back up, and it's Elijah Mitchell. Right, they pop his highlight tape up, and I'm watching him, and I'm like, wow, man, this dude is fast. This dude can help us. Right, I know I want the linebacker selfishly, but I see a running back who can truly help our team. And so I say, Kyle, let's take the running back. Right? And that's what I've learned about being in this position. It's not about egos. It's not about being selfish. It's about doing the right things for the team. And we do the right things for the team. That's how you build a successful program.
Brooks, we were talking about this off air, and you had a good question, which was kind of like, okay, how much does a defensive coach or coordinator, or like a linebacker's coach, have input into that kind of stuff? It was a sixth round. At that stage in the draft, a lot of times people are kind of getting the position coach's actual opinion on various guys, and trying to, like, in an open and collaborative environment, guys are honest about it. That is, so many front offices are, there's just such a big diversity. And I think people in their minds always go to the soap opera version of it, to where everybody must be trying to get the other guy or trying to get power over somebody else. And a lot of them just simply aren't like that. Like, if you've got a good environment, it is collaborative. Yeah. And it sounds like D'Amico's been in some good collaborative environments as a coach, which is cool. Because it's better than getting somebody that's come from like the Greg Williams school of doing things.
Yes. I'm looking at that.
Stabbing people in the kidneys every chance you get.
I'm trying to find who the linebacker might have been. There weren't that many linebackers drafted after Elijah Mitchell that draft. You know who was drafted with the very next pick? Roy Lopez.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe you thought Roy Lopez was a linebacker because he's so tiny.
He's so small. Yeah, exactly.
But with whether D'Amico Ryan's hire changes how they ultimately do the number two overall pick with a quarterback or a defensive player, I don't think that D'Amico Ryans or Nick Caserio even know right now exactly who they're going to pick with that.
I agree with that.
I think throughout this process, they're going to evaluate all these players, and y'all get a chance to ask him. If y'all can nail him down on the number two pick, that'd be great.
We'll try.
Radio history. Cool. Get that going. But I think about the timing. I'm always about parallels in some ways because that's all you really have to speculate. But D'Amico Ryans' experience in 2006, they get an offensive-minded first-time head coach in Gary Kubiak. They need a quarterback. They're trying to figure out David Carr, and he had come in and said that he could work with him too, but you also can prepare for the future. They didn't draft a quarterback. They went Mario Williams, and then they went to D'Amico Ryans. They went defensive players early in the draft to help build what they had. And you look at the team right now, and then later on, what did they do? They traded for Michael Vick's backup, who ended up being the best quarterback the Texans had up until Deshaun Watson. So there are other ways the Texans can go about the quarterback position. You can make parallels and say, like, okay, Derek Carr is available. Maybe that's a possibility. If you have Bobby Slowick and then Jimmy Garoppolo's around, you want to sign. There are other ways that maybe don't sound very popular right now. But, I mean, from my takeaway with D'Amico Ryans in that story is that he's open to those conversations. And I pointed out and I remembered whenever he started saying collaborative, working together, doing it the right way with the right people, and then Nick Caserio saying, amen.
Yeah.
There's that connection between those two that I think they're going to be helpful to each other.
Yep.
You know, you mentioned that 2006 draft.
Yeah.
Jay Cutler. I just remember watching. Remember the mic'd up where they were playing the Broncos and during warmups, Kubiak was just like, look at the whip on that kid. Oh my gosh! Like this is like marveling at Jay Cutler throwing the football. Yeah. I'm like, man, that was if he had to go back, who knows how Cutler would have been with Kubiak?
Yeah, seriously,
smoking cigarettes all over.
Brooks, what do you got going on this weekend in the Chronicle?
Well, more on D'Amico Ryans got a chance to enter the fray of former Texans football players and get a lot of stories about D'Amico, about the timing, about the context of this moment for the Texans, where they're moving forward. I mean, D'Amico Ryan seems, he said it himself, this is his dream job, just kind of building around that and the stories that led up to this moment. Talked to a lot of guys, and it'll be a fun story.
You should call it an expose.
An expose. Yeah. All the bad things people found. Not a single thing.
Everybody forgot to tip his barber once.
What if somebody wrote it that way? Like little tiny things.
Oh,
but like
Sean and I had an article written about us. That was,
I saw that last week.
Yeah.
That was complete. Okay, so
and I listened to that interview too. So
okay, so you knew that if you had read it, you would have thought like, oh my gosh, this Seth Payne is really put out.
He
right?
is. Yeah.
But I was just joking the whole time.
Right.
I'm gonna steal your. You know what? That's a good. And I like that from him because he's like, you know what? You know, some people might finagle, like think that, oh yeah, I've already thought of that. He's like, no, I didn't think about it. I'm gonna steal that and use that the rest of my interviews. He used it verbatim the rest of the way.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So
This is crazy.
So when we see the D'Amico Ryan's expose this weekend, you guys will have credit. You'll have stolen my idea and not credited it. Yeah.
There you go. Hey, Brooks, great piece, too, on the four big needs for the Texans.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, that was if you can go find it, the people can go to the HoustonCron.com, HoustonChronicle.com, and go get that, right?
And Jonathan Alexander will be writing about Derek Stingley. Got a chance to catch up with him.
Oh, good.
So he was there, and, you know, they obviously D'Amico Ryan's talked about him first, and along with Jalen Peach and Christian Harris. So a lot of people wondering how he'll fit in that defense and get a chance to hear from him, too. So.
We'll have that cut for you coming out of the top of the hour. That was cool to hear D'Amico talk about specific guys on the defensive side of the ball. Really get you thinking and get you excited about next year. Brooks, great stuff. Keep up the great work. We'll see you next week.
See you guys.
All right, there it is. Brooks Cabina, Houston Chronicle. Go find his stuff on the Chronicle website there. Brooks Cabina, at B Cabina on Twitter.
I'm glad he mentioned Derek Stingley, because Derek Stingley was wearing a hoodie that said politics on it.
Yeah.
And I was sitting next to Whitney. I was like, Whitney, like, am I just really old? I don't know. What is that a brand or is that a statement or something? And Whitney was like, I don't know. I'm getting old too, man. I don't know.
Oh, crap.
So now I got to
say, I have the same question.
It's sneakerpolitics.com.
Okay. Well, there you go. All right. Up next, we have Nick Caserio coming up, bottom of the hour, 7:30. The Texans GM will join us. We'll get his thoughts on yesterday, the offseason, things moving forward. And up next, more from D'Amico Ryans. Jalen Petrie, Derek Stingley, Christian Harris, all specifically named by the Texans' new head coach yesterday. You'll hear that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.